Now I'm going to speak on Proverbs 3, 3 to 5, which is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths, which obviously fits brilliantly with what has just been shared. In all your ways... Thank you. Anyway. Thanks. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Just before I start, I just would like to say thank you to everybody who made my retirement so special. We had a really lovely day here on June the 19th when so many people stayed for lunch. Lots of you spoke really kindly about Paulie and Lai on a video. It was a very, very special time for us. We really felt very honoured, very loved, and I'm very grateful to everybody for that and for the retirement dinner that I had with people that I have worked with over the years afterwards. That was just another amazing time for us. People were so good and so kind to us. And lots of you were very generous as well. You gave us a very generous gift, and we hugely appreciate that. It was really, really thoughtful of you. And I'd particularly like to thank Andy and Sue Fox, who masterminded that honouring process. It did mean such a lot to us, and we were very, very grateful. Okay, so I am going to speak. The title of my talk is Trust in the Lord. So it's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So I'm going to speak about trust in the Lord. I'm going to speak about trust in five areas. I'm going to speak about trust for our salvation, trust in anxiety, trust in inadequacy, trust in adversity, and trust when the bottom falls out. It doesn't really fit with the other things, but I think it's quite important to address trust when the bottom falls out. So I'm going to speak on those five points about trust and hopefully challenge us a little bit about trusting in the Lord. It's interesting, isn't it, that on every American coin that has been released since the year 1864, in the midst of the American Civil War, it has four words on that coin. The words are, in God we trust. In God we trust. There are a lot of Americans at the moment who are saying they would like that removed from the American coinage. There are some who are saying they would like it changed to, in God some of us trust. Which is a little bit strange. But I think it's interesting for us, isn't it, that trust is quite a significant thing for us. We're being encouraged here by this verse to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And yet sometimes I think we wouldn't perhaps express it like this, but we might say we love God, but actually we find it quite difficult to trust him sometimes or to trust in him with all our heart. So I want to speak about those five areas where I think we can probably grow in our trust. So the first area is trusting in God for our salvation. It's interesting that one of the Hebrew words for trust actually almost translates as to lie face down, helpless. To lie face down, helpless. First and foremost, trusting God means placing our faith in Jesus alone for our salvation. I think that's so important. First and foremost, trusting God means placing our faith in Jesus alone for our salvation. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 say, for it is by grace you have been saved, and this through faith, not of your own. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Not by works, so that no one can boast. I think sometimes quite a few of us begin to think, well, maybe there were some quite reasonable qualities in me that God liked, and perhaps that's why God chose me. The book of Isaiah is very clear that all our own righteousness is as filthy rags. As filthy rags. Luke 19 verse 10 says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Folks, we were lost. We were lost without the Savior. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. It was God who sent his Son. I was lost in my sin, my selfishness, and then God sent his Son to go to the cross to pay the price for my wrongdoing that I could be put back into relationship with God. We were lost in our transgressions, but God, in his mercy, came and did that for us. We need to trust in God alone for our salvation. It is by grace you have been saved. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Thank you. We often like the idea that maybe our goodness is in there somewhere. It wasn't. We need to believe completely that we have to trust in Jesus alone, in his righteousness, not in our own, for our salvation. So absolutely vitally important, we build trust in God on that foundation, that we trust in God alone for our salvation. Second area we need to trust in God with, in God for, is in times of anxiety. Times of anxiety come to us all. Chipper was talking at the start there, you know, about people maybe moving jobs, losing jobs. There are all kinds of things that bring anxiety to us. In Luke chapter 6, verse 25 to 34, there is quite a long section that Jesus teaches on do not worry. He starts off in verse 25, says, do not worry about your life. In verse 27, he says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? In verse 34, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, today has enough troubles of its own. Leave tomorrow's troubles till then. And yet we often find it so easy to worry. My mother was quite a worrier, so worry is in my genes. It comes into my genes quite easily to start worrying about things. And I think, you know, we need to think seriously about it. Jesus didn't just say, well, I wouldn't worry if I were you. This is a command. In the corresponding passage in Luke 12, verse 26, it says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You know, it's a command of Jesus. Apparently, Jesus spoke 125 commands, and 21 of them are about fear and anxiety. So obviously he thought it was important, but his desire is that we would be anxious for nothing. And the picture that comes up in that, Jesus says, do you not remember the birds of the air? They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store food in barns, and yet God feeds them. Are you not more important than they? What he's saying to you is you are really significant to God. God knows what you need. If you start worrying about things, then you're taking control of things that should really belong to God. You should be trusting in God that he will look after these things. He knows what you need before you even ask for it. That passage is a beautiful passage expressing God's amazing love for us and his amazing care for each one of us. And then yet so many of us can in our anxiety start to take things back and start to worry about them. God's saying in times of anxiety, we need to trust in him. Third area is in times of inadequacy. There are lots of times that God asks us to do things that we don't feel adequate to do. I remember when I was 52, I was a PE teacher, and I felt God asked me to come out and work in the church. I can't tell you how inadequate I felt. But I could think 25 years before that, I was asked by Mike Beaumont, who was then the minister of Sale Baptist Church, to lead a life group. And I had been in a life group that was full of the old Baptist deacons of the church. They knew their Bibles inside out, backwards. I didn't know mine, anything like that. And I was suddenly asked to lead this life group. I can't tell you how inadequate I felt. But actually, God speaks to us in our inadequacies. There's a great story in Exodus chapter 3 about Moses. When God calls Moses to go back and to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, he encourages him to do that. And Moses says to him, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? He feels incredibly inadequate. It's quite interesting what God doesn't say to him. God could have said to him, well, actually, you're an incredibly qualified guy to go. You speak Hebrew. You've lived with the Egyptians. You've got your foot in both camps. You're so qualified. There is nobody better qualified than you to go. But God didn't say that to him. God simply said, I will be with you. I will be with you. And sometimes when we feel really inadequate, we need to think that God will be with us. I think God chose the job that I did. I was, for 29 years, I was a PE teacher in Aldringham. God chose that job for me and made it a really fulfilling time for me. And then I came here and I worked in the church and I was incredibly fulfilled. God chose that job for me. I felt inadequate to do both the jobs, but God was with me in both of them. And that's what made the difference and helped me overcome my feelings of inadequacy. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And that's what we need to do in times of inadequacy. Trusting God in our inadequacy is vital. It's not leaning on our own understanding, but trusting that he will be with us if he's called us to a task, whether it's secular or spiritual. If God called us, he will be with us, and that's what will make the difference. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not about what I can do. It's about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Fourthly, we need to trust God in times of adversity or crisis. Curveballs and crises will come. I was very thrilled last Christmas to reach 70. I'd achieved my 70 years and 10. Then, as I say, I had 2 wonderful retirement dues. I felt loved and honored. They were really fantastic. But then actually, a little while later, I found I needed heart surgery. I've got to have a valve replaced in my heart because it's leaking. That was quite a curveball for me. And my first thought immediately might be, I was having a really good year. Why has this happened? Where is God for me now? Where is God for me now? But I was reading a hymn that John Newton, the old slave trader, wrote, the guy who wrote Amazing Grace. And there's a song which is called Begone Unbelief. And in it he writes, His love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. His love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Because of the fact that I need heart surgery, I've had to go through 2 quite significant heart procedures, which were fairly scary for me. I've also had several other medical procedures which were pretty horrible. I won't bore you with. But every time I had one of those, I stood on God's word. I stood on God's word. Psalm 16 says, I keep the Lord before me at all times. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, and my body will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave. I have to look back. His love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to think. When we're in times of crisis, we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. There's a great story in Daniel chapter 6 where all the satraps and administrators are jealous of the fact that Darius promotes Daniel to be one of the main rulers in the country. And so because they can't find anything of a corrupt nature in him, they say the only way we're going to find him out is something to do with the law of his God. They know that Daniel goes home, lies down in his room, and he prays to God every day. So they go to Darius and they say, Darius, we think it'd be really good if the only people who prayed in this kingdom prayed to you. And why don't you issue a decree of the Medes and Persians that anybody who prays to anybody else will be severely punished, i.e. thrown into the lion's den. Daniel trusts in the Lord with all his heart and leans not on his own understanding. He acknowledges him in all his ways, knowing that God will direct his paths. He is brought before King Darius, and Darius is really shocked that he has to put Daniel into the lion's den. But Daniel knew that God was with him before when he refused to eat the kind of food that the locals ate, and he would still stand out as a promising young man. God was with him then, and God was with him in the lion's den. He trusted in the Lord with all his heart. And Daniel 6, verse 22 has this very interesting verse. It says, when Daniel was lifted out of the lion's den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in the Lord his God. In times of adversity, we need to make sure that we keep trusting in the Lord. And then lastly, I thought I should put this point in. I felt God led me to put this point in. We need to trust in God when the bottom drops out. Following Jesus is not a cast iron insurance policy that every crisis or challenge will finish in victory. Difficult and disappointing things happen to Christians too. We have to reach that place that is in the story in Daniel chapter 3 of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue. So when they refuse to bow down, the king is really absolutely inflamed. And so he heats up the furnace even hotter, and he's going to throw these 3 guys in. And so he says, you're going to get thrown into the fiery furnace. And their answer to him is absolutely fantastic and shows an incredible trust in God and a lack of leaning on their own understanding. And they say to him, our God is able to save us, and we think he will. But even if he does not, even if he does not, we will not bow down to your golden statue. What they were saying to him is, our trust is in the Lord, and we are not changing to put our trust in anything else, even if he doesn't save us from the fiery furnace. And we all need to reach that place, I think, really, where our trust in God is that whatever happens, even if the bottom drops out, we are going to keep trusting in our God. I was inspired to do some of this talk out of Pauline's brother doing a talk, which was called Trust in the Lord, which was delivered in this Baptist church, as it was, many, many years ago, 4 weeks after he lost his 33-year-old wife. He was left with three children. She died. And he talked 4 weeks after that about trusting in the Lord. You know, and one of the things he kept saying was, I just refuse to give up on believing that there is a good God who is around and who has good purposes for my life and will bring something good even out of this great tragedy. We need to trust in the Lord even in the darkest of times. I found a poem which I thought was really moving on this, which I'll read to you. Ella Wheeler Wilcox, don't know who she is, but I think this is tremendous. Ella Wheeler Wilcox wrote, I'll read it to you twice because I think it's quite profound. I will not doubt, though all my ships at sea come home with broken masts and sails, I shall believe the hand which never fails from seeming evil worketh good to me. Though I weep because those sails are battered, still will I cry while my best hopes lie shattered, I trust in thee. I think that's fantastic, so I'm going to read it again. I will not doubt, though all my ships at sea come home with broken masts and sails, I shall believe the hand which never fails from seeming evil worketh good to me. Though I weep because those sails are battered, still will I cry while my best hopes lie shattered. I trust in thee. When we don't understand why, we still need to echo those words. I trust in you, Lord. It's been my privilege in being a pastor in this church for over many years to see lots of people cope with incredible disappointments and incredibly hard times, things that we prayed that God would do differently, but he didn't. But they cope with them absolutely incredibly by placing their little hand in God's great big hand and continuing to trust in him. A man was walking near the edge of a cliff one day and he slipped off the edge. As he slipped on the edge, as good fortune would have it, as he fell down, there was a tree branch there. So he grabbed hold of the tree and he was hanging onto it by one hand. Very perilous position to be in. And he shouted out, God, are you there? And a voice came back, yes, I'm here. And so he said, God, what do you want me to do? And the voice came back, let go and I'll catch you. So he shouted again, is there anybody else there? We all really like to be in control. It's quite amazing, isn't it? I'm always amazed when I'm on a plane. I think I'm quite safe driving my car down the motorway. I'm told it's about 100 times more as dangerous than it is in riding somewhere on a plane. But when I'm on a plane and turbulence comes, I grip hold of the seats like this and think I can do something about it. But I'm not in control. And there's lots of areas of life where I'm just not in control. And I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I need to trust in the Lord for my salvation. In Christ alone, my hope is found. I need to trust in God in times of anxiety. Remember his amazing love for me. If he feeds the birds who don't store, who don't reap, and who don't sow, yet God cares for them, each one of them. How much more does he care for me? And I should know that I am in his care and in his charge. When I feel inadequate, I need to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I'm in times of adversity, I need to remember his love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. And then when the bottom falls out sometimes, as it can do for some people, we need to recognize that we need to stand alongside them, to love them and help them to put their small hand in God's great big hand and to keep trusting in the Lord with all their heart, leaning not on their own understanding, acknowledging him in all their ways, and he will direct their paths forevermore. Amen.